And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Holy Spirit, do the part that we can't do in this service. But then, God, you've enabled us to do our part. May we exercise the faith that you have given us. May we be attentive. May we surrender ourselves to your will. But then, God, that part that takes your Spirit, that unique explanation that comes from the inward part of us, where thy Spirit leads us into truth. Help tonight, Father, that we would understand and grow and learn. Protect us from the evil one, and then do a work in our lives that's lasting. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there if you will. We'll come back to this story in just a moment. In this story, I see something that will help us in something that I'm going to teach tonight. I got to thinking about our abilities. You know, some of us have abilities in different areas of life, but I think if there are some abilities that if you and I develop these abilities, they can be helpful to people. And I call the lesson tonight, Helping People by Developing Your Abilities. Please listen and stay with me, if you will. I have a friend. I guess you might just call him a bit of a computer genius. I remember when computers were not everywhere and four-year-olds were not running them. And I remember my friend, who was a boss at that time, sitting in his office, and there were computers that just surrounded him. And he would work on one and then move over to another and then work on another. And it was just amazing to me. And he today is worth $260-270 million. Back then he was not. But he had an ability, and it was a unique ability. He was in the Modern Machine Shop magazine, and his shop was highlighted in this magazine because it was so advanced in technology. That's a great ability. I got to thinking, I also had a friend that was from Dayton, Ohio, and he would travel from Dayton, Ohio to Colorado Springs, Colorado, back and forth. He worked in Dayton, Ohio at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and he was a nuclear scientist. And he would go back and forth between Dayton, Ohio, and he would go out to the Colorado Springs area, and a brilliant man. He was just a brilliant man. He had an ability when it came to the world of the nuclear world, and he was a brilliant man. What an ability! I got to thinking. I like history, and I do like some things about war. One of my favorite people in history in regard to the military is General Douglas MacArthur. And I've read story after story after story, and some of them true and some of them not, but I do want to believe them all because they're so exciting. And to me, what a genius when it would come to military strategy and things. But that was an ability that he had. I've watched some doctors that are incredible. Someday I'll tell you the story. My sister was hit by a drunk driver. She was driving up the road and was hit by a drunk driver, and it virtually tore the entire top of her head off during the accident, and she was pronounced dead on the scene. But the EMTs that picked her up started CPR immediately and rushed her to an emergency room, and a particular doctor took on my sister's case. And though she was found dead on the scene, they revived her and brought her back, and as much as one could, she was in ICU for months and months and months, and they had to wire her jaw shut, and her jaw had been broken I don't know how many places, I just wouldn't even try to describe everything that she went through. But to a degree, she lives a normal life today. I have to tell you, that doctor had an ability. That doctor that took her from virtual death back to life and rebuilt her broken body, that's that's quite an ability. And you'd feel that way too if that was you that got rebuilt. You'd say, well, that's some doctor. I have to tell you, I have I'm not real big on politicians. I don't know if you are either. I haven't really met anybody that's much big on politicians other than other politicians. To me, one of the greatest presidents ever in the history of the United States of America is Ronald Reagan. And I don't admire him like some of the politicians do today. They admire him just to use his name, drafting like in a race car. They just want to use his name and maybe pick up some momentum because of him. But I admired Ronald Reagan, and I thought he was quite a president. I really, really do. And to this day, I still admire Ronald Reagan, and I wish we could have him back and he could run for president this time. Sure would beat the field that we've got going for us right now. But what a balanced man. And he had, well, here's what I think. I think he had wisdom. I think he had a wisdom about him and an insight about him. And what an ability. Now, everybody I just mentioned, I couldn't put my name on a list with these people because I don't have any of those abilities. But you know something? There's some abilities, if you and I could develop them, we too could make a great contribution to helping God and helping mankind. In Genesis chapter 22, we just read a story. It's about Abraham and his son Isaac. I will shorten the story. In the story, God calls Abraham, and Abraham answers, and God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac, and you're going to go, and you're going to give him as a sacrifice. Gather the wood, get your servants, get your son, I'll tell you where to go. You're going to go, and he took him to Mount Moriah, and Abraham did exactly what God said. God said to his son Isaac, said, son, we're going somewhere. They loaded up the donkeys, and they took off. There, even at one point during this little conversation that went on between Abraham and his son said, Dad, we've got wood, and I know we're going to give a sacrifice, and I know you've got fire with you, but who's or what's going to be sacrificed? Isaac, to that point, did not realize it was him that was going to be sacrificed. And Abraham, can you imagine being the dad? How do you answer your son about something like that? And Abraham had a pretty wise answer. He said, don't worry, God himself will provide a sacrifice. But God had said, you're going to sacrifice your son. They went there, they built the altar. Abraham put his son on the altar, said that bound him, put him on the altar, had the fire, he was ready to go. And then God's angel spoke up and said, okay, Abraham. You don't have to sacrifice your son. God sees that you love him ultimately and you'll obey him. And then God provided a sacrifice. Now, I see some ability there with Abraham. If you know anything about Abraham, he is the father of many nations. Abraham is a successful person in the Bible. Folks, you know, Moses helped a lot of people in his day. Moses was a people helper. We know that Jesus was a people helper. You look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He was a people helper. But if you would stop and realize, and if you know something about the Old Testament, Abraham had thousands and thousands and thousands of people that he influenced. He is called the father of many nations. The young people on the bus, the teenagers sing a song about Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you if you're saved. So let's just praise the Lord. Now, Abraham, very influential, and he helped a lot of people. This story is a story that is quite well known about Abraham, this sacrifice of Isaac and everything that happened. I want to point out some ability that I see in Abraham that I believe catapulted him to being a people helper and helping people in mass. And folks, I don't know about you, but I'm never going to be a computer genius. I don't know if it's offensive. I used to think it was an offensive term to call someone a computer geek. I don't know that that's offensive anymore, but I'll never be a computer geek. I'm doing pretty well to check the voicemail on my iPhone. And ever since I got this deal where I can talk and it dictates, you have got to check and see what you just said before you send it. some of the things that I've said, I'm going, oh my goodness, how did the devil's in this machine, you know? I didn't say that. But I'll never be a computer geek. I'm just not smart enough. I'm not going to be a nuclear scientist, although I can use a microwave quite well. I'll never be a general in the army like a Douglas MacArthur. I'm not going to be a doctor that saves lives. They won't let me be the president of the United States because of certain beliefs that I have, I'm sure. But Abraham was powerfully influential, and he wasn't a computer genius, and he wasn't a nuclear scientist, and he wasn't a general in the army, and he wasn't a doctor, and he wasn't the president of the United States either. What ability did he have that I might be able to develop and that you might be able to develop to help like he did? And I'm going to show you in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1, I'm going to read something to you here, and you'll see what I think is the first ability, and that is this. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." The first ability is availability. Abraham was available. That, to me, is a great ability. Folks, be available for God. Be available to God. God said, Abraham, and Abraham said, right here. God didn't have to go looking for him. God just said, Abraham, said it one time. And a couple times, I know when Abraham was getting ready to take out Isaac, God said Abraham twice, just in case Abraham was a little quick with a knife. But God got his attention. But the truth of the matter is, God said, Abraham, and Abraham said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Folks, if you want to serve God and you want to get something accomplished in your life, if you would like to be influential, I think, like Abraham was, the father of many nations, I think you have to be available to God. I think Abraham, when he said, I'm here, Lord, he was saying, I'm available. It's almost like asking this question, what do you need? What do you need? Folks, when God needs you, you need to be available. If we're going to be people that help, whether we're going to help God or we're going to help God's people, you've got to be available. There's a verse in the Bible, and I think sometimes we almost teach it, not wrongly, but we teach it in a way that dilutes it a little bit. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The word world there is actually a Greek word, cosmos. It's talking about this world's makeup. We sometimes will teach that you should not be worldly. And by the way, you shouldn't be worldly. Now, I don't think that is a wrong teaching, but I don't think it's the total teaching of 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's basically saying, don't you get so involved in this world, you don't have time for God. We almost get attached to this world. We get so attached to this world that we don't have time for God. And may I say tonight, we're not available for God. So you all know, not a one of us was put on this world for the sake of being on this world. And I know I'm the preacher and I'm in what you might call full-time ministry, but so you know, every one of us were put on this globe to serve Him and do anything He wants. And then the things that we do otherwise, ere it be drive truck or work at the hospital or whatever, that's really secondary. That is a means to the end, and the primary purpose of our lives is to be available to God. If God calls you for a task, would you hear Him? Hey, let me ask you this. Has God called you for a task recently? You say, no. Well, here's a problem. Yes, He did. I'm sure He did. So I don't remember God ever called me for a task. Isn't that strange? He's called. There's some things He's wanted you to do. There's some people He's wanted you to help. There's a difference He's wanted you to make. Were you available? don't get so busy with your life that you don't have time for God in your life. Look, if we're going to help people, we've got to stay available to God. I did not have the privilege of going to a Christian school. I went to a public school. But I'm going to tell you something. When I was in the public school, when I got to serving God, I made some sacrifices. I can remember when they told me that they told me I could not play basketball unless I would come to Wednesday night practices. And I said, I go to church on Wednesday night. And they said this to me, you will have to choose. And I said to my coach politely, no, there's no choice. He said, I knew you'd see it my way. And I said, here's my uniform. He said, you mean to tell me you're choosing church over basketball? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know why? I needed to be available for God. And listen, I think you ought to be willing to give up anything for God. Now, you won't have to, so you know. God's not asking you to give everything up. But I'll tell you one thing he would like to know. Just like he wanted to know about Abraham, would you? What would you not give up for God? That's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing. I think you and I ought to say, God, anything, and mean it. And so, you know, we could say it to each other and fake each other out, fool each other. You can't fool God. He knows if you mean it or not. What is a great ability that we see in Abraham? Availability. Abraham said, what do you need? Sure. Schedule your life. Here's one reason why I think you ought to have a prayer time. I think God ought to be able to meet with you sometime to give you some instructions. Did you know that if God knows that you pray and He knows when you're praying, He could get a hold of you if He needed to? That's why you need some time in your Bible so God can speak to you. And so, you know, often God speaks to people in church. He created the church. Many of us, it was in church when God said, I've got something for you to do and you need to do it. So thank God for church. But be available. Abraham was available to God, and because he was available to God, God used him and he became the father of many nations. What would have happened if God would have wanted to have a Pentecost Sunday and have 3,000 people saved, and Peter would have said, I'm busy that day? You say, well, it would have ruined part of the Bible. Would have ruined no more important day than the day that God wanted to use you to do something. Wonder if it was that God would have wanted Noah to build an ark, but Noah just wasn't available. I'm too busy, God, to build an ark. You say, well, that'd be a bummer. That'd ruin that good story in the Bible. And a lot of kids' songs would be out the door. Right, right. Wonder if Moses was too busy on the day that he needed to part the Red Sea. Or David, when it was time to write the Psalms. You all know how important the Psalms are to us? Wow! I don't know about you, but I run to the Psalms. There are times when sometimes my heart can't take anything else but the Psalms. There's just a soothing comfort that comes from the Psalms. And I'm here to tell you, wonder if David would have been too busy and unavailable, or Moses was too busy and unavailable. Wonder if Elisha, you remember when the fire was called down from the sky? Wonder if Jesus would have said, die on the cross, I'm booked that day, God. Sorry. Be available to God. If you will be available to God, God will give you some people to help. If you join the military, they would help you to learn some character by moving a pile of sand from point A to point B. And then you may move that sand from point B back to point A. That's what your commanding officer, your sergeant, he may ask you to do. So you all know, God never asks you to do something for no reason. Most of the time, when God calls upon people, it's to help people. You look out throughout the Bible. When God called upon people. He wanted the people to help his people or to help the lost. So you say, I just don't want to be God's puppet where I move sand from point A to point B or from point B to point A. I don't know of anywhere in the Bible where God called upon somebody to do something without the intent of that something helping people. So be available. That's a great ability. What ability is that? Availability. Secondly, there's another ability that I see here that Abraham exercises. I'm going to read to you from Genesis 22, and I'll read to you verse 7, 8, and 9. We read it a moment ago. The Bible says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." What do I see here? First of all, I see that Abraham was available. He availability. Secondly, he was dependable. That's dependability. Abraham was dependable. God said, Abraham. Abraham answered. He was available. Then God said, now go do this. You know what we just found Abraham doing? He was dependable. He said, I'll do it. Then he went to do what God told him to do. There's all sorts of people that'll say, sure, I'll do it. But not all of them do what they said they would do. Did you come to an altar and promise God that you'd be faithful to church and then not do it? Did you come to an altar and promise God that you'd become a soul winner and then not do it? You see, we sometimes make ourselves available, but then we're not dependable. Although we were available, we're not dependable. Abraham was dependable. What was he doing? Well, God had said, I want you to take your son and go give him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. The next thing you know, 9 verses later, you know what Abraham's doing? What Abraham promised he was going to do. He was a man of his word. You and I, we need to make ourselves available to God, and then we need to obey God once we've made ourselves available to him. We need to do right when people are watching and when people are not. That's being trustworthy. Be faithful to God. Hey, could God give you an important job and know that you're going to follow through with it? Did you know that God's word is dependable? If God tells us he's going to do something, he will. Well, you and I think God's looking for some dependable people. He's just looking for someone that he can count on. And you say, but preacher, there's so many things about the Bible that I don't know. Well, you know something? You don't have to worry about what you don't know. You got your hands full just doing what you do know. I mean, people say, well, I've got so much of the Bible to learn. I agree. But I'll tell you this. We all probably know enough about the Bible to keep ourselves out of trouble, and we have our hands full just obeying what we do know. You know, I think sometimes God doesn't give us more to do, and sometimes he doesn't give us more truth because we didn't do what we were supposed to do with what he gave us last time. What would have happened if God called Peter, said, Peter, I want you to go down and preach Pentecost, and Peter said, I'll go! And the crowd was gathered, and they had preached out of the back of a pickup truck. I don't know how Peter did it, but the crowd's gathered and it's time for Peter to preach Pentecost, and everybody's saying, you seen him, Brother Edwards? Where's Peter? He promised to show, but when it was time, he didn't show up. Wouldn't that have been a great story in the Bible? But Peter did show up. Peter was available when God called him, and he was dependable to follow through and do what God needed him to do. Think about, if you will, Noah, the building of the ark. Wonder if he would have only did it halfway. Halfway built boats don't float real well. Folks, listen, God gives you a job. Do it. Be dependable. You ever heard the terminology? My dad used to say, if that guy tells you you're going to do something, you can go to the bank on it. My dad used that term, go to the bank on it. What that mean? You can depend on it. My dad used to say, that guy's word is as good as gold. That's what God deserves, folks. We ought to be available to get instruction from Him, not be so busy in our life that we miss what God has for us, and then we ought to be dependable to follow through and do what God's given us to do. Boy, I think of how miserable life would be had David not written the Psalms or had Elisha not called fire down from the sky. Oh, you know, we would have all died and gone to hell had Jesus not finished the job. God needed Jesus. He was available. God said, now you're going to have to die, you're going to have to be buried, and you're going to have to be resurrected. Wonder if he would have died and been buried. But he didn't finish the job with the resurrection. We'd all be doomed to hell. But Jesus wanted to help people. So he was available to God, and then he was dependable for God. He did what God needed him to do. And he didn't do it halfway. Abraham didn't do it halfway. God said, Abraham, and he said, here I am. God said, you know what? You're available. I might be able to use you. Well, I'm going to give you some instructions. Let's see how well you follow the instructions. And he gave him the instructions. And the next thing you know, he's got his boy. He's bound. There's an altar. There's fire. God had given him instruction, and he followed it to a T. You and I need to be dependable for God. Work to be dependable. Now, let me tell you something. You will help more people if you'll become spiritually dependable. You and I need to be dependable. Dependable people help people. Undependable people are the ones that have to be helped. Which one are you? Are you spiritually dependable or spiritually dependent? We are to help people. We've got to be available when God needs us to help. Then we've got to do what God would have us to do and follow through. Let me give you one more and we'll be finished. Then the last one, Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. Let me read this verse to you. And the Bible says this. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Now remember, God said to Abraham, he calls out his name at the beginning of the story. And Abraham says, here I am. God said, take your son, get ready to go sacrifice him. Next thing we know, we find him on Mount Moriah, and he is ready to sacrifice his son. The boy's bound, the fire's ready, the altar's built. Now a voice comes to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham answers the very same way. He said, here I am. You know what that means? He stuck it out. He stuck it out. He was available, availability. He was dependable, dependability. And now I see a third ability, stickability. He stuck it out. He was there in the end to follow through and finish the job. Folks, we need some Christians that'll stick with it. You realize how big Fundamental Baptist churches would be if all the people that got saved that came through the back doors would have just stuck with it? You can imagine if they would have gotten saved and then got baptized and then joined the church and really grew in the Lord. But they come and they go. They come and they go. Dr. Joe Boyd, the evangelist Joe Boyd, he took a church over down in the Dallas, Texas area. And it was called the Open Door Baptist Church. And I preach with him often enough. There's a picture of Brother Boyd and I where we were preaching together in my office. And one day he said this to me, and maybe you heard him say it. He said, I'll tell you what, that business of pastoring can be for the birds. He said, my church was called the Open Door Baptist Church, but what we should have named it was the Revolving Door Baptist Church. Because they would come in and couldn't handle the preaching, and they would go right back out. They'd come and get a dose of Jesus as Savior, but they wouldn't stay around to get Jesus, the Holy One and the Pure One. He said, just the Revolving Door Baptist Church, you got to get people to stick with it. Now, thank God, Dr. Joe Boyd stuck with it all the way to the end. I think he was nearly 90 years of age when he passed away, but he stuck with the Bible all the way through. Folks, there's some people in here, you need to decide you're going to serve God all the way the day you die. You shouldn't have one foot in the door getting ready to run from God. Stick it out. Stickability. People that serve God a long time have a greater potential of doing something for God, making a difference for God. Don't quit on God. Don't quit. I've watched preachers quit, and all preachers face difficult times. And I don't know if you'd understand it. If you'd ever been a pastor, you might. But there is a spiritual warfare that sometimes people don't recognize. It gets pretty dastardly sometimes. And it can be very hard, but you know what we've got to do? We've got to have stickability. You stay with it, it will help you. You stick with it, it will help you. I'm glad Jesus didn't quit. He stuck it out all the way to the end. Don't quit. Folks, don't quit the choir. Stick it out. Don't quit your Sunday school class. Stick it out. Don't quit your bus route. Stick it out. Don't quit on your ministry. Stick it out. Stay with God. We've got to stick in there. And I like it. God calls Abraham and he said, "Here I am." Then he follows all the way through and Abraham does everything God said and God calls him again. And Abraham basically, his answer was, "Still here. Still here. What do you need?" Same attitude in the end that he had at the beginning. "Here I am. What do you need?" Peter, he stuck it out all the way through. Peter was available. He showed up on Pentecost. You know what the result was? He helped 3,000 people get saved. He wouldn't have helped 3,000 people had he not stuck it out. You have to stick in there. You need to see your Christianity do the right thing all the way through. Hey, do you know what? Noah was available. Noah did what God told him to do. He followed the blueprint. He finished that ark. And in the end, Noah, he had the privilege of saving every part of mankind that God wanted spared. Boy, he helped some people that day. You look at the story of Moses. Moses was available to God when God called him. Then God said, "You lead my children through the Red Sea and we'll part that thing." He did everything that God told him to do. And in the end, the children of Israel were on the other side and the enemy was floating face down in the water. What happened? God helped Moses to help God's people. But he was available, he was dependable, and he stuck with it all the way through and he did the right thing. The Psalms are finished. David finished them. Elijah, he was standing there after the fire was called down from the sky and there were just ashes under his toes. What a powerful story of the prophets of Baal being overwhelmed on Mount Carmel, but he stuck with it all the way through. Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. The greatest people helper in history was Jesus Christ, and he said, "It is finished." He stuck with it all the way through. Be available to God, then become dependable, and then just stick in there, and you'll help people. That's the key. I want to hang in there just so I can just keep on helping people. I'll never be a computer genius and a nuclear scientist. I'm not going to be another MacArthur or a doctor that could save lives or a President Ronald Reagan, but I tell you what I can do. When God says, "Jeff Owens," I'm going to say, "Yes, sir." And He says, "I'm going to give you some instructions." I'll say, "Yes, sir." I'm going to write them down very carefully. I'm going to follow. I want to follow every step. And then in the end, if He says, "Hey, Jeff," I'm going to say, "Yes, sir, still here. Doing what you told me to do." He said, "Well, I can use somebody like that because they're available, they're dependable, and they don't quit." You say, "I want to help a bunch of people." Be available, be dependable, and don't quit. I've looked at the people who have been used of God greatly. Paul was available. The Apostle Paul was dependable. And the Apostle Paul didn't quit. I've looked at the people. Abraham was available. Abraham was dependable. And Abraham didn't quit. Other people in our generation. I look at a Dr. Tom Malone. He was available, dependable, and he didn't quit. Dr. Lee Robertson, he was available, he was dependable, and he didn't quit. Dr. Hiles, he was available, he was dependable, and he just didn't quit. Lester Roloff, he was just available, he was dependable, and he didn't quit. You say, "But what about the talent?" Any of you ever hear Dr. Hiles sing? There wasn't an ounce of musical talent in that voice. It sounded like a wounded puppy. I've known some of those great men. And the truth of the matter is, what made them great, they just didn't quit. They said, "God, there are people that have all sorts of talents and all sorts of abilities, but they're not available to you. God, if you could use an untalented person that would just, what do you need?" God said, "Well, you're the only one with your hand up, I'll take you. God, you're going to have to tell me what to do and I'll just have to follow the instructions." God said, "You know what? This is going to work out just fine." I'll give you the instructions, and you follow the instructions. And God comes back, and he said, what are you doing down there? I haven't been doing what you gave me to do. He said, I think you're going to make it, son. You listened, you obeyed, and now you just didn't quit. He said, I'll give you success. I think we'll help people by developing those abilities. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I need to work on my abilities. Oh, I'm not talking about your artistic ability. I'm not talking about your music ability. I'm talking about your availability, your dependability, and then your stickability. Has God spoken to your heart and say, you know, I need to work on my abilities a little more? Who here would raise your hand and say, God, I need to work on some abilities in my life. I need to develop them a little more. I know my hand's up. I've got to work on it. You may put those hands down. Let's be used of God to help people. Let's make a difference by developing these abilities. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you're welcome to it. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I need to work on my abilities. I need to be available. I need to be more dependable. I need to stick with some things. Maybe you get off track too easily. You say, I don't know a lot about being a Sunday school teacher. You be available, you be dependable, and you hang in there and you'll help people. Now, I don't know a lot about this ministry or that ministry. You be available, you be dependable, and you stick with it, and God will use you. I was scared to death when God called me to be a pastor. I thought, oh no, I don't know anything about this. I really don't know much about the Bible. I've not been trained well enough to do this. But you know, I said, God, I'll do it if you want me to do it. I was available. I just followed His instruction book. I've tried to be dependable. I've not done it well, but I've tried. And then I just tried to stick with it. And I have had the privilege of helping a few people along the way. Far more people than what I would have helped if I would have claimed my life as my own. And I was unavailable and undependable. And I didn't stick with it. Hey, and be encouraged, my friend. You say, I'll never be a nuclear scientist. Yeah, neither will I. But you can help people. Because the ability we're talking about is available to everybody. Everybody can be available. Everybody can be dependable. Everybody can have that stickability. Everybody, from a child to the oldest adult, to a young Christian, an older Christian, well-educated, uneducated, we can all have these abilities. This is the last time through the song. And thank you. Folks, if you'd like to have a seat real quick,